This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الحمد لله الحمد لله على حلمه بعد علمه وعلى عفوه بعد قدرته والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الناس إنا خلقناكم من ذكر وأنثى وجعلناكم شعوبا وقبائل لتعارفوا إن أكرمكم عند الله أتقاكم صدق الله العظيم. Respected elders and brothers, we are all aware of the recent happenings in our country and in our surroundings, actually. The latest rounds of violent protests and the subsequent mayhem and the looting from opportunistic elements have left certain portions of the country, in fact, maybe the entire country, reeling. Increasing within people of the country, the citizens of the country, and more so within the community, a deep sense of vulnerability, anxiety, insecurity, and a certain degree of fear. There has been great loss of life and property, and the government, which is supposed to fulfill one of its most important objectives, to provide safety and security for its citizens, has unfortunately been incapable of containing the unrest and has not been able to provide the security and safety for its citizens as a government is supposed to have done. And of course, one of the problems that we are having with regard to the present government is that the ruling party is witnessing disunity, and former comrades that used to say that we are fighting together for a common cause, today are jostling for power and positions. And this is unfortunately the situation that has left them fighting for power rather than governing a state. And this is one of the greatest objectives of a government is supposed to be worrying about the welfare of the poor. In the time of Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, one day a person came to complain to Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu about something. Now Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu had a gathering, had a specific time where he used to take the complaints of people. And this person came after that time. So Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu became very angry with him, you know, and actually took a whip and lashed him and said, you know, I was sitting to listen to the complaint, you didn't come. And now after I'm sitting with my own work, now you come and speak about, you had a time, you had an opportunity, why didn't you use it? And why you came now? So the person went away, and Umar radiallahu ta'ala thereafter became very remorseful. He went looking out for him and he called him back and he said, please come and lash me back again. I seek forgiveness. And he said, it's nothing. Perhaps you are right. And when he went away, Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu started weeping and said, oh Umar, you were someone who was not even on hidayat. You were insignificant. Allah ta'ala gave you power. Allah made you the leader of the people. And now is this the way you behave towards people? Are you so oblivious of the needs of people? Do you not regard the needs of the people as important? And he started weeping so much that his companions had to console him. This is the show with how a leader is supposed to have the feelings of people. Now, what do we complain that today, never mind, you know, other people, even our own rulers, leaders in our own countries, Muslim countries, do not have these type of concerns for the subjects. We can only complain to Almighty Allah. We make dua to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ye dahshar gardi aur mar loot ki jo haliya waqiyat hai, ne sare mulk ko gehri tashwish اور بے امنی کی لپٹ میں لے لیا ہے. حکومت اس غنڈا گردی کو روکنے کی اہل معلوم نہیں ہوتی, اور اس میں ہم کیا کریں؟ What do we do? اس میں جو ہے نا ہمیں غور کرنا چاہیے. What do we do? We have to think about certain things. The first thing is, we should never become overawed and never become despondent. A believer is never overwhelmed by despondency. Allah Ta'ala says, انه لا يأس من روح الله الا القوم الكافرون. مسلمان کبھی مایوس نہیں ہوتے, وی نیور بیکم مایوس. اینڈ دا فرسٹریشن اینڈ دا اینگر دیٹ وی گیٹ وتھ ریگارڈ ٹو وٹ وی سی شوڈ نیور ایور میک اس لوز ہوپ ان دا مرسی آف آل مائٹی اللہ اینڈ نیور میک اس اسٹاپ ٹرسٹنگ ان اللہ سبحانہ و تعالی. اللہ ان دا ہولی قرآن سیز ای ینصرکم اللہ فلا غالب لکم. If Allah helps you, none can overcome you. If Allah forsakes you, none can help you. وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَلْيَتَوَكَّلِ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Upon Allah should the believer always put trust in. We believe if we put trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the proper way, the way we are supposed to do with all its conditions. Allah ta'ala then says, أَلَيْسَ اللَّهُ بِكَافٍ عَبْدَهُ. Is Allah ta'ala not sufficient for his people? وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. He who relies upon Almighty Allah, Allah becomes sufficient for him. جو اللہ تعالیٰ پر بھروسہ کرے, اللہ سبحانہ و تعالیٰ ان کے لیے کافی ہو جاتے ہیں. Whoever relies upon Almighty Allah سبحانہ و تعالیٰ, اللہ سبحانہ و تعالیٰ becomes sufficient for him. We need to turn towards Almighty Allah سبحانہ و تعالیٰ in dua. We make dua for even the minutest things. Nothing is small for us. Nothing is big for Almighty Allah سبحانہ و تعالیٰ. If Allah سبحانہ و تعالیٰ wishes, Allah سبحانہ و تعالیٰ can change conditions the way he has changed previously in the history of mankind. So we turn towards Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, knowing fully well nothing is beyond the qudrat and the power of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we, in this believing, we never become despondent. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said in a hadith which comes in Sahih Muslim. What a beautiful hadith. And every hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is beautiful. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, a strong believer is better than a weak believer. Jo mu'min qawi hai, wo za'if musalman se اللہ تعالیٰ کیا زیادہ اہمیت اور زیادہ محبوب ہے. A strong believer is better in the sight of Almighty Allah than a weak believer. However, both of them are good. Be eager to carry out such deeds that will benefit you and seek the assistance of Allah and do not become lax. And this is a portion of the hadith that I would like to make mention of. If anything afflicts you, never ever say, if only I had done so. If only I had done so, then the things would not have happened upon me. Agar koi cheez hamare khilaf agar koi cheez ho jaye to kabhi ye mat kehna agar main ye karta ye ya main ye nahi karta to aisa na hota. Don't ever say if I had done so or if I had not done so, then this would not have happened. Say, what has happened has been the will of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Never say if. Never say if. Kabhi ye mat karna agar magar. Kyunki agar magar shaitan ke liye darwaza khol leta hai. By saying if, you open the doors of shaitan. Learn to rely upon Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Part of what must become, part of our routine must be to learn du'as and to read our du'as on a daily basis. When we leave home, اللهم إني أسألك خير المولج وخير المخرج, بسم الله ولجنا وبسم الله خرجنا وعلى الله ربنا توكلنا. Others, you can't do that. بسم الله توكلت على الله لا حول ولا قوة إلا. آية الكرسي after every salat, the du'as that we are supposed to read. Now many people will come after namaz, مولانا آپ نے کیا دعا, what did you say? But there are kitabs that are there. Read, Bismillah الذي لا يدر ما اسمي شيء في الأرض ولا في السماء وهو السميع العليم. Oh Allah, in your name, nothing can harm us in this heavens and earth. With your name, nothing can harm us. Every day, three times in the morning, three times in the evening, it must become part of our daily routine. Du'as, we must turn towards Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this turning towards Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a powerful tool that we need to do. In terms of means, there are a few things that we would like to make mention of. Firstly, brothers, it's important for us to understand we are living in a country where there are challenges. There is poverty that is around us. There is inequality that is around us. There is people who do not have employment. And we have to keep in mind, to have an employment, even if you have a minor job, I'm not saying you mustn't try to better yourself. If Allah Ta'ala has granted you some means of risk, you make qadr of that, you value that, you appreciate it, even if it's little. One day, you know, they say a man came home, so he found something, the home was not very clean. You know, the home was not very clean. So he told his wife, he said, whole day you at home, and the house is still not clean. Whole day you at home, the house is still not clean. So the wife said, whole day you work, we're still poor. Whole day you work, we still have nothing. But you got, at least you got a job, brothers. Make qadr of that. Aap pure din jo hai na kaam karte ho, fir bhi hum jo hai na maldar nahi hue. But kam as kam, yeah, shukar to karo. So in that particular way, we have these situations. Part of that is by avoid extravagance and flaunting of our wealth. Avoid extravagance and flaunting of our wealth. Extravagance in a situation where there is poverty makes the poor feel deprived, causes them hurt, and sometimes brings about a feeling of bitterness which could create enmity and hostility. Israf se ijtinab kare. Israf gharibo ko mahroomi ka shikar kar dete hai aur unke andar karwahat peda karta hai. Stay away from extravagance and flaunting of your wealth. I know that many people will say, and maybe justly, that, you know, extravagance is subjective. What is extravagance? Sometimes a person who is just at the lower level has got certain basic things for him. That will be extravagant for someone who doesn't have anything. So I do understand that it is subjective. I do understand that there is an aspect with regard to what Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, وَلَا تَنْسَ نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. If Allah has given you wealth, don't forget your share in this material world. That means utilize it. I know that there is permissibility. I know that the aspect is right, that there is subjectivity. But sometimes in an area and in a situation where people are in poverty, people don't have jobs, people don't have anything, to flaunt your wealth can create bitterness. And we need to be aware with regard to it. Let me give an example. Hazrat Mufti Rafi Osmani, I heard him one day, he gave a talk here. His father was Mufti Shafi Sahib, the grand Mufti of Pakistan. One day he was invited. They were born in Deoband. They were born in Deoband, so they went to they were invited by a scholar by the name of Maulana Sayyid Asghar Hussain Shah Sahib. He was known as Mia Sahib. So in the invitation, Mufti Sahib said, I was 8 to 10 years of age. After the invitation, there was fruit that was presented. I took the fruit and I said, let me clear the tablecloth. I will take the fruit and I will throw it outside in the bin. Maulana said, don't throw it outside in the bin. So he said, why? Aren't we supposed to throw it in the bin? He said, wrap it up. Go far away from here and then go and throw that fruit. So he said, why? He said, the people in this area can't afford fruit. When they see fruit in the bin, they will feel bitterness. They will feel deprived. Take the fruit and go and throw it far away. Go and take the thing somewhere. These are how things we are supposed to. So in terms of extravagance, let us be careful with regard to how we deal with things. In terms of our situation, we also have people whom we employ. Many a times people we employ come from a particular background. Brothers, treat our employees with justice and companionship. Apne mulazimin ke saath insaaf aur muhabbat ka bartao karo. Whoever you are feeling, stay, keep away from this aspect of looking down upon them, speaking upon them in a derogatory term, calling them with derogatory names. It is something that creates bitterness. Keep and treat your munazimeen and your employees with justice and love and kindness and compassion. Even if they are not fulfilling their rights, even if you feel that they are not doing what they are supposed to do, justice and fair dealings are the basic values of Islam. Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam on one occasion saw a person whose hands was rough. And he said, why is your hands rough? Ya Rasulullah, I go and break stones and I earn my living by breaking stone. Therefore, my hands is rough. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took his hands and kissed it. Huh? Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't only kiss his hands. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was giving honor and dignity to a person who works. This is the honor and dignity. Every human being has got dignity. Walakad karramna bani Adam. Allah Ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, وَلَكَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمُ. We have granted respect and dignity to every child of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. Grant respect and dignity to people. You know, and learn to be with muhabbat and kindness. And amongst the things that we need to be doing, avoid racist conduct. Allah has created all human beings equal. مُتَعَسِّبَانَا رَوَيَا سَي مُكَمَّلْ تَوَرْ پَرْ اِشْتِنَابْ كَرَي. Stay away from racism. Stay away from calling people by racist terms. Brothers, we are from a nation. We are from a teaching that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us, لَا فَضْلَ لِعْرَبِيِّنْ عَلَىٰ أَجَمِينَ. There is no superiority of the Arab over the non-Arab over the Arab, the black over the white over the black, إِلَّا عَلَىٰ taqwa, except on the basis of taqwa. Allah has created us into different races and tribes for identification, not that we look down upon one another. And if for example, sometimes people will say, but there is certain people who are doing this to us. You cannot generalize. We cannot generalize. Generalization, we speak against generalization when we speak to the West. And we said, if certain people have done something wrong, you know, under the name of ISIS or under the name of a wrong, you cannot generalize upon all Muslims. Why then do we do and generalize upon all other people? On what basis? We come from a tradition that looks upon people as human beings. And every human being is worthy of respect. Every human being has a capacity for good. Every human being, Allah Ta'ala has created him innocent. Every human being, Allah has created them innocent. One of our doors that we are in this masjid, just the center door, we got on this door written there, Babe Bilal ibn Abi Rabah. The door of Bilal ibn Abi Rabah. That's our door that we have named. Who was Bilal? Came from a particular background, was not appreciated by the people of Arabs. When Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam told Hazrat Bilal radiallahu anhu, get up on the Kaaba after Fatah Makkah, call out the Azan at the time of Zuhr. And the Arabs, when they looked upon a black Abyssinian slave giving Azan on the top of the Kaaba, no one ever before or after has done that. Then they started saying such slurs. They said, if we're lucky our father passed away before seeing this day. Allah Ta'ala revealed the ayat, Ya ayyuhan nas inna khalaqnakum min dhakari wa untha. O people, we have created you from one male and female, Adam and Hawa. Inna khalaqnakum min dhakari wa ja'alnakum shu'uban wa qabail. We have made you into different races and tribes, lita'arafu, for the sake of identification, not for the sake of superiority. Superiority will not be on color or ethnicity. It will be on the basis of goodness and taqwa and conduct. And do you show you? Let me show you how it was. You know, in the time of Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, one day was working, you know, and three prominent people, you know, Suhail ibn Amr, and Ikramah bin Abi Jahl, and all of these people, Abu Sufyan, they came to meet Umar, the person who was doing he was in charge of the office of Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He came to tell Umar, and he was standing at the door, and he said, oh Umar, these three people have come to meet you. Leave them alone. Tell them I am busy. I will meet them after a while. And after a while, three people whom normally in terms of influence and class were not as that ranked in terms of dunya, in terms of material influence. Right? So they came. And who were they? Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Abu Zar Ghaffari radiallahu ta'ala anhu, I think it was Salman al-Farsi or Suhaib al-Rumi, some of these people who came, who were not regarded to be very great in terms of class amongst the people of Arabia. And someone came and tell Umar, these people have come to meet you. Umar left everything and he went to go and meet with them. He went to hug them. Now these three people are waiting, who are the leaders of the Quraysh. And they said, Ajab al ibn Khattab, we are amazed, Ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala. He leaves us and he calls our former slaves. Ye to hamare ghulam te. Hame chor kar unko bulate. And then one of them said, Umar is not wrong. They gave, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave the call towards oneness, and he gave the call towards success, and he gave the call towards Islam. They took precedence. Umar is giving them precedence. On the day of Qiyamah, Allah also will give them precedence. Allah will give them precedence. We judge people on conduct. We don't judge people on race, on ethnicity. And everyone has a capacity for good. Let us treat people. There was a very great, pious person who was in Nizamuddin. I think his name was Maulana. I don't remember the name. And he made mention of a very, very amazing statement. He said, the way you look at people, that's the way they will conduct themselves against you. आप जिस तरह से लोगों को देखते हो ना, इसी तरह वो आपके साथ पेश आएंगे. You look at people, they are going to be like this, they're going to do us, they're going to kill us, they're going to do like that, maybe they will do it. You start looking at people with kindness and compassion. ये भी जो है ना, रहम के मुस्तहिक है. These people are also worthy of compassion. Look at them, they don't even have a job. They are sleeping on the streets. Have mercy upon them, maybe then they will have mercy upon you. The way you look at people, they will look at you. The way you deal with people, that's the way they will deal with you. And then, my dear respected, play a part with regard to the solutions. Be part of the solution rather than be part of the problem. South Africa, our country, in the midst of all the wealth that we have, is grappling with challenges of poverty, inequality, and unemployment. In the midst of people who are so wealthy, we have poverty. We have one of the most unequal countries in the world. We have 6.7 million people unemployed in South Africa. 6.7 million people unemployed in South Africa. That's 30% of the people of South Africa unemployed. Now you can say there's a government responsibility to give jobs. Okay, we can understand that. Can you play a role? Can you have a play a role? Can you, for example, make something and say, I will make someone, I will give him a job, or I will make him and give him my skills to do something? I'm not saying we can do, we can't maybe solve everything, but play a role, whatever you can. And if you can't do that, then at least have kindness and compassion. Come as come, let have that. Come as come, raham ta koro, at least understand the situation, at least show some form of compassion. In the time of Umar radiallahu anhu, there was a drought. Right? I'll show you the compassion. And where was his compassion and where is our compassion? And when there was a drought, people didn't have food to eat. One day, his son Abdullah ibn Umar had one melon which he got after so many days. And he was eating it. And Umar became enraged, angry, took it away from his son. Oh my son, people are dying of hunger and you have the temerity to have a melon in front of me. At that particular time when there was drought, Umar radiallahu anhu told the people, I'm not going to have anything, no meat I will have until that meat becomes and that food becomes available for the common people. Right? So there was no food in the market because of the drought. Umar didn't have no food. His stomach used to rumble. He used to tell his stomach, rumble how much you want. Until the people don't eat, I won't eat. Until the people don't have to eat, I won't eat. One day, the servant came very happily. Oh, Umar, now there is food in the market. Food in the market. So he went to purchase and he brought it to Umar. Umar asked, what is the price? He told him the price. Now because of a drought, when there is food and it comes available, it's very expensive. Umar said, so expensive. Can the common people afford it? So the common people still can't afford it. Umar said, take it away. I don't want to eat it. Look, if they can't eat it, I won't eat it. Now, I'm not saying we have that taqwa, but all I'm saying is have a degree of compassion for the challenges that are facing us. Don't let us become oblivious and only look at ourselves. Yes, we need to be vigilant. We need to take precaution. Whatever precaution we can take, we need to take. And in this regard, let me say in conclusion, be careful with your phones. Really, I'm not saying phones can provide messages to keep people vigilant and make them aware. But where is this that you create fear? To create fear in a community and society is no good thing. It creates negativity. I mean, now the way things have been, as if the whole Fortsburg and Mayfair was, there was not one street and there was not one house that was the safe. Everything has been burnt out. That's the way we carry on with regard to on social media. If there is a need to pass on a message, do it responsibly. Why create fear? Pictures that were in 2008 and sometimes from other parts of the world, we're sending it around. The whole Fortsburg is burning. No one can come in here. No one can go out. Be responsible in the way you deal with things. Why create fear and panic? Panic is not something that we are supposed to encourage. Yes, take whatever. If there is a situation which needs to be addressed, then bring it to the relevant people. You have people who have community police forums. You have situations. Bring it. Tell them to investigate. Don't just go and send out things and create panic. These are not things that help in the cohesion of a society. So in short, my dear brother, contribute to the development of the society, the less privileged. Let us play ourselves. Let us be responsible. And let us be also vigilant. And let us be also part of the solution rather than just talking about the problems. May Allah make it such. Despite all our challenges, brothers, we still have a wonderful country. Let us contribute to making it even more wonderful. I can tell you with a modem of authority, I have traveled many parts of the world. Allah Ta'ala has given certain things that I hear that are not in other parts. And of course, we do have our challenges. There are things that are outside that are not here. Security, safety, etc., which sometimes there is there, which you don't have here. Now, what is our situation? Instead of complaining, let us become part of the solution. Let us help in whatever way we can. And if everyone, more hands, many hands make light work. Huh? So if there is many hands that come together for a common purpose, inshallah, Allah Ta'ala will bring about, you know, success. Allah will bring about peace. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring about better conditions. But and at the end of the day, turn towards Almighty Allah and be confident. Inshallah, it can be done, inshallah. Jazakumullah wa akhiru da'wana. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.